individuals meet people that you're talking about. This week, I happened to meet somebody who evidently has a leak in the water system and got a bill for $400. Can't pay it. And I said, George, we have to help him because he can't pay it. He'll be paying it for ever. So I don't think we often meet people like that.
I think you're right.
But here's, I mean, he goes to work every day, but this is something that just popped up. So I guess what I'm saying is that I don't know how we can be more in contact with people who have these needs, or maybe.
I think if we're going to move forward in some direction here, we better get better at getting to know some people. And that's actually one of the principles I've presented. You've got to get to know the people. Just anybody. Here's some ideas. Here, Betsy. Come on in here. We'll let you in. Okay, so here are some possibilities. How do we proceed? What does the kingdom of God look like? Do you feel differently or have different ideas today than you did when we started this 3 weeks ago? But really open to anything. I'm a little bit interested in the.
Can I just say that, and just to further what you said, I mean, getting to know the people and what they're struggling with, I mean, I know what two of the girls, I drink too much coffee, we all know, but I know what two of the girls in Royal Farms are really struggling with. They work there hours and hours. They're still waiting for a raise that was supposed to come in January. Still isn't coming. People are quitting and not coming in. And, you know, if you just listen to those people, you do know what's going on right here under our nose.
Yeah, I would sort of tie those two together. Since you said, well, we don't meet those people. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to be aware to meet people like you've done at Royal Farms. It really is sort of, I mean, that conversation with the cashier at Royal Farms, cashier giant, and keeping your antenna up for situations like the people sleeping in their cars in the parking lot.
You can also find out by joining a group that works on this. Marty and I go, and some other people go monthly to the Southern Delaware Alliance for Racial Justice, where they talk about all kinds of things that we'd rather not hear about. And, you know, one is prison, you know, the whole issue of prisons. And this month it's affordable housing, I mean, every time. And there are people there, all kinds of people who are trying to learn about where we live. To me, it's we have to learn about where we live. We chose to live here. And if you think there are problems, there just are a whole lot.
Phil and I went last week.
I know.
And I saw racism and and anti-Semitism. And the big takeaway for me was the increase in the percentage was like 600%.
Hate crimes
against those two individuals, whether they be people of color or whether they be Jews, in the state of Delaware. Mm-hmm. In a very short period of time, shall we say.
2 years.
2 years. Yes.
3 months for it.
But then the woman working in the Walmart, the 7-Eleven, her problem is she's not getting paid enough. Mm-hmm. Her pay should probably be triple. Mm-hmm. So while we need to help that woman, those women are going to exist forever unless we do something at a higher level.
Mm-hmm. But it's not just her pay. I mean, she has people that are ill, people she's worried about, you know, and it's hard to cope with all of that.
It is, except it depends on how high you raise your pay.
Right.
And it's not.
Right.
And I mean, what I'm just getting at is that it just seems to me there are two things. Somebody was talking about the two pay, you know, there's, Terry, you were about, I thought, about the local. You were talking about dealing with the parishioners here. And certainly the church has to do that, but is the church ever going to do something that's going to change the structure of what's going on here? And we're not going to do that. Okay, this church is not going to do that. There's not enough people to do that. But if you started working at the level of the presbytery, now you're talking about a lot of people. Incidentally, the presbytery gives away a lot of, I mean, we do a lot of really good mission giving through the presbytery. I learned this when I was our deacons. That gets hidden too. I mean, it's hidden. It's not so much hidden. I mean, I know about it because I'm in this church, but nobody out, you know, who's in the Presbyterian knows about that.
Well, this morning, Betsy asked me a question about how many wells this church built in 3 years. And so you can't say a church can't do things that are big,
yeah,
because we built 22 wells.
Yeah.
3 years. And that was a lot of money that we never even expected. We were hoping to build a well a year.
Yeah.
And these were not people that were Presbyterians. They were just coming out of the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
That was so exciting to us to see these people. They knew we were doing it, and then we'd get these nice letters and these checks. And we never knew who they were. We knew who they were.
I hope I stated it clearly. This church does beautiful things. That was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And but I also know people do a lot of things individually too. So I hope I didn't give you a wrong impression. I love this church. And the people are workers in this church.
I think, if I understand correctly, the church has liberation theology and contextual Bible study intersect is in the Latin American countries, for instance, these community-based groups are empowering themselves through the use of the Bible and Scripture to make changes in structures that are keeping them impoverished. It's not just a band-aid effect,
right,
and this is a good cause when we do it, but meals on wheels. It's structurally what are the issues that can be changed that will have a more powerful impact on the reason that your elderly are getting meals delivered to their houses as opposed to whatever. That's just, and so I think having a bigger kind of view of the purpose is a good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of different possibilities of how a church, you know, can approach this whole matter. You know, the notion of trying to get at the very, you know, root causes is always a tough thing, right? I mean, and the question is, you know, how, if you wanted to go that route, what's, you know, what is something that would be reasonable for them to go at? Another thing that I've wondered about from time to time, though you mentioned others, water. You know, again, we did a lot of things. You know, we got a lot of good programs and activities that the church supports. One possibility might be to think about, okay, so is there one of these areas that we could go in more depth? I'm not sure we can approach this. It's not, like I say, it's, you know, getting from the doing and whatnot to the root cause work is a whole another level of effort.
So what about, so we have a ministerial, and once again, we were at one of those churches last night, some of us, and that was a joy. And what has been pointed out over here is that there are many issues of oppression and poverty in this area. The contextual Bible study really is not aimed, as I said before, the Scottish people, what it tends to turn out to be is Bible study by a people like us who want to do some good, but actually we're not involved with the oppressed and the poverty part of the community. I mean, would there be some methodology where we get together with other churches at some smaller level, where people of different economic means are talking with each other, and then go through some kind of a process and see if that group wants to attack something, and then follow through?
I was going to go there, as I said before. I think it would be great for us to partner up with churches in the area to do things. And they had time last night for announcements, and that's amazing. The number of things other churches are doing, and all different things, you know. They're not all doing the same thing.
I think that's part of what goes on with our ministerium. Liz and Janelle last night both bemoaned what is a fact, that while our churches put out a lot of things to do in common, we actually don't do a lot of things in common. Lenten lunches being an example that Liz held up. We show up at this Lenten lunch, they show up at that Lenten lunch, etc. And it's not just congregants, it's also ministers and leaders not showing to each other's churches. To revitalize our ministerium all by itself, which can leverage more direction, is going to require significant effort. I think it's well past the time we've begun. The ministerium does right now have a local goal, and that's the address to first simply saving people from the cold and bad weather, and looking toward helping people climb out of homelessness. It's a long-term goal and a short-term goal, but our unity to go ahead and do that means a lot. So this idea about contextual study and seeing outside ourselves, one of the first places we can see outside ourselves is by very deliberately joining with other churches, perhaps in Bible study, you know, revitalizing our connection to folks who aren't, even though they're near neighbors the same as us and don't necessarily see the same problems. There is a set of fairly global problems here, but when you say this is a small church, this is a small church that does a lot, but if we combine the strength of the entire ministerium, we could do a lot more. You're absolutely right.
You know, there's a very recent example. You may not be aware of this, but we've been closely aligned with Pile Center in this area for some time. Pile Center does a lot of good for local people who are very needy from not having food or a place to live, et cetera, et cetera. And our church has had its emergency fund that the deacons have contributed to as part of their mission work. Well, the emergency fund has been monitored by the state of Delaware, really, and through state service centers. And as recently as this week, that money, which is $30,000, has come out of the state and has gone to the ministerium to monitor and distribute those funds based on need. So I think that's probably a pretty good example of getting it away from the government, so to speak, and down to the grassroots, local churches, et cetera, et cetera. A small start, but I think it's very good.
Is that something new for
It's happened this week, yeah.
To follow up on Bob's comment, is there any way the ministerium could run a, I'm not talking about maybe an electronic bulletin board, but some way that the churches in the ministerium could know what other things is happening in other churches? There were 5 people that stood up last night and gave events out that we wouldn't have a clue of. It's not in the Coastal Point. It's not any place.
It is on a Facebook page, but that's all. The ministry does not have a good active website, and it needs one desperately.
Well, maybe it's a published monthly from the ministry, and all the public events of each church could be tagged up in the back of the church or over here or someplace.
As Cindy just said, a lot of those churches don't have websites.
Right.
So they have no way of getting the information out.
That's an advantage we do have that maybe we can leverage toward the other churches. Not just looking at the Bible. That would be terrifying. But maybe we can be of help that way, yes.
Can we have anything going on?
Not
to
pile on,
right?
Why couldn't the minister have a newsletter? That could go to the churches. Easier than the website.
Every so often, I will point out, every so often there are inserts right inside your bulletins on Sundays that are from other churches and other churches' events. We do try.
Right.
And Peter Maurer does really try to get everything out and make it the responsibility of churches to publish so we can be more conscious about publishing. Hopefully other churches can too. But I really meant more like joint activities, even amongst some of the member churches of the ministerium, to raise the consciousness of what else is out there.
It's almost like the ministerium is an established organization that does what it does that it does. And what I've been hearing for the last 3 weeks is maybe a whole different way. And where we had a bit of a conversation was, well, maybe there's this contextual Bible study of some local, about some local issue. I'm just maybe particularly thinking of the Union Wesley Church.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're a partnership Bible study. It's like, okay, do we know what the black community's issues are? I can guess, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a way to start there, right? And Phil, when you were talking to about the water issues and this nice walk we're going to have and all that, it's like, well, that's water in these other countries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been a debate to me, is these mission committees that have international missions and local missions, and it's like, you can do both, right?
Yeah, water issues in this country, too.
Well,
there you go.
So maybe that's a place to start, is like, all right, let's reach out to, not necessarily the ministerium, but favorable churches who might have a better dialogue.
Yeah.
So, I just want to say that I don't, believe me, I'm not going to not denigrate anything that you're talking about here. But you know that story. When you've been doing something for a long time, just doing it harder, okay, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like what Dale just said. In other words, we need to look at something that ultimately changes the structure. I'm a really big believer that every footstep that each one of us takes rearranges the ground underneath us. And therefore, it's a footstep that makes a difference. And while I don't have too many thoughts of grandeur, maybe a little bit, realize that we can't maybe accomplish everything that we would like, but we need to take a different step. If we are honestly going to, and now I'll talk big, change the arc of history so that instead of going south from Jesus Christ on that mountain, we start heading north to bring the kingdom of God to earth, which means a place of peace and harmony and justice. And so... So in a small way, I think big. In a small way, if you get a group of 15 people who show that a group of, let's say, Protestants to get together, utilize Protestant theology, and come up with something that works. Maybe other churches can start getting involved too. But it is important to me, I think, not to just keep doing what we're doing, just doing it a little harder. We should keep doing that stuff because it keeps people alive. But there's something a little more directed to the big problems, I think, would be nice. The big problems are the little problems, too.
Yeah, the big metaphor in missional theology for a fairly long time has been to compare the church to a field hospital. Drop down in the middle of so much chaos that all you can do is address the symptoms of the chaos. And there's a lot of ways in which that's true, especially in the, don't dislike me for saying this, in the modern capitalistic system where capitalistic governments drop down the problems toward churches, assuming churches will take care of them, and therefore the larger society doesn't need to. So there is that address of symptomology all the time, and we're kidding ourselves if we say that the churches can take themselves out of managing symptoms. We can't. You're right, people will die. But organizing toward, even as Mr. Gutierrez did, theoretical assumptions toward the top is extremely important. Otherwise, you're right, it will not change. That's very true. But we are, at every level, the church is involved in addressing symptoms as well. And we just have to.
I haven't said anything, but I want to throw an idea out to you that everything I'm hearing here today is being heard by about no more than 30% of our congregation. Where's the other 70%? Why aren't they here? Are they interested or not? So, you know, we can sit here and think about doing things, but it's only going to be 30% of us.
Or it could be, wow, there are 30% of the congregation.
Yeah, that's a very much happier. The usual percentage of a congregation, in all honesty, is somewhere 10% or below. So this is extraordinary. But Bill's also right in his analysis. If we form up a study group, hopefully a Bible study group, maybe cooperating with Union Wesley and maybe inviting others, that's going to be a small group too. But if it does a really good job of focusing on direction, this congregation I know is the kind of congregation that will get excited about that direction. Especially if it's a visibly appropriate direction. And I don't know how many people around here, just earlier you, Beth, and you, Marlene, that people do rise up in this congregation and do, that the people do respond. Let's offer something large, holistic, contextual to respond to. And you're right, that's going to take a little time to develop. Going to take doing the theology and doing the principles, which we began to do. I said this to Bill, he said, say this. The critical thinking, we have begun doing that. We just don't recognize the terminology as meaning do what you're doing, start doing some discernment, start thinking a little deeper. That's all that is. We've begun now. And I think I see at least one positive direction coming out of this. At least a more deliberate, conscious outreach to at least one more church saying, can we cooperate on understanding our context better? You've got views on it, we've got views on it, there's a collective view. Can we work on that and start thinking what results from that in terms of action? Because you're also right with me. One of the reasons the ministerium is vitiated now, and it still does its best, but it hasn't got a common cause. And it hasn't got common activity going on. All of that's a response to good theological and discerning work.
Yeah.
What I think is really important, and it's it was used at once, I think on the first our first week, and it was quoted to me by my daughter, actually. It's not an exact quote, but the minister in the poor Latin American church, you'll see my point, the details aren't exact. The church comes down, I mean, someone from the church, and says, you know, we're here to help. And the response is, if you're just here to help me, go away. If you believe your salvation is somehow linked to my salvation, then you're welcome. The point is, if we move forward with another institution, we'll be doing it for our salvation. And we won't be doing it for the thanks we get from them because we did something for them. And so this is, to me, a really important point. But I think that, I believe that getting together with others is a good idea. Maybe we want to start with, I think Dale was kind of getting to this, starting with something a little different. In other words, we're going to try and follow this is just a for instance, we're going to try and follow contextual Bible study about an important social issue to our community. This is the background we have. We were wondering if you would be interested in joining us. And you don't know where that's going to get to, but if you spend 6 or 8 months getting together once every other week for 2 or 3 hours in somebody's home, I'll tell you, in 6 months, you'll be in some place that's way different and unanticipated from what we can talk about here. Mm-hmm. And that could be a really good thing. Maybe not, but it would be a new try. Mm-hmm. And so, that's it.
I have a Bible verse going through my head the whole time we're talking. And it's whenever 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of you. And if we can just think, it doesn't matter the number, it's the task, and who or why we're doing it, and God's right there. That one's out.
There's a church in Washington, D.C. that when the Sandy Hook parents started going and lobbying for gun control, they got involved and started hosting these people that came for them to have a place to gather in their church to come for meals and just to weep together and talk together. And then they have a service in remembrance of all the victims of gun violence. And politicians have started coming to that. So, yeah, it's... and then they lobby. They go to their congressmen and their senators and lobby one day.
So. Are there any PCUSA people there?
They're not designated as such. I don't know.
I just feel that PCUSA has such a beautiful theology.
I know some of the Sojourner people. I don't know. No one has